Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Thanks for allowing us to share this time with you. Honestly, it's our favorite time of the day where we get to hang out together and talk about how the truth of God's Word can make a huge difference in your life. And that's what we're going to hear from Richard in a way that only he can do, with words of hope, insight, and humor. You may be stuck in traffic or stuck in life. Either way, today's message is going to help get you on the right track as you learn how much God loves you right where you are. So let's get right into today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Who Cares? I think it was Stephen Wright, the comedian, said, if you think nobody cares, try missing a couple of payments. That you find out pretty quick, somebody cares. Too many times people think, whether it's because of depression, isolation, whatever it is, they just get in a funk, or they really do believe this because in some cases it might actually be true. They just can't find anybody who cares. There's old things like, you know, tell somebody something and say, well, here's a quarter, old country song, here's a quarter, find somebody who cares, call somebody who cares. You say, well, everybody has somebody who cares. It's not true. You say, well, but God cares about everybody. I get that, but sometimes he shows up in us and there are people who think, who cares? For instance, who really cares if you live or die? You say, well, my parents care. What if your parents are dead? Well, I think my sister, my brother, what if they're gone? What if you have no contact with them? You start wondering, is there anybody who really knows I'm alive or cares that I'm alive at all? You look at somebody and say, well, I'm just, you know, really not happy. Dude, who cares? You know, it usually starts with dude. Dude, who cares? Like, get on with your life. Can't pay my bills. I lost my job. And one that I kind of cycle through with people is I'm thinking about killing myself. And when the answer, if you say that out loud and the answer comes back either verbally or just nobody says anything, and it's kind of this resounding, dude, who cares? Kill yourself then. What do we care? What do I care? Nobody cares. Kill yourself. And by the way, don't kill yourself. The suicides are up. People alone thinking there's no hope, there's no future, there's no answers, nobody cares. And they just say, I might as well get out. You say, well, everybody's got somebody that cares. Let me tell you, as Christians, one of the reasons it is so important to walk with God in such a way that you communicate with him and he communicates with you is we get these promptings. I have never in my life heard an audible voice, but I guarantee you there are times where he says, call X, call someone, text someone now, not pray about it, don't wait and think about it now. And I have had too many things match up either in that moment or later and people say, oh my gosh, I cannot believe you called me. This is what I was feeling. This is what was going on. You've got to listen to him, not just for yourself. And part of the reason it is so important to grow up as a Christian and get on with living the life he intended is that when you grow up, when you're mature, and this happens hopefully to dads and moms and couples, you know, you realize it's not all about me. And when you grow up, there are certain things that are about you, but you don't. Your prayers are not even all about you. Oh, God, do this for me. You get your stuff covered. You go, you know what? I'm good. I'm here to talk about some other people. I'm here because I got friends and family in trouble or strangers that I've met, and now you're reaching out to other people. John Wooden, basketball coach, said, I worry that business leaders are more interested in material gain than they are in having the patience to build up a strong organization, and a strong organization starts with caring for their people. Are your people okay? So one of the things, I'm not sure how successful I am around here doing this, but I try to spend time with our staff and we go to lunch and we sit and we talk. You say, well, what do you talk about in those staff meetings? Do you cover a lot of business stuff? And the answer is actually no. You say, well, why not? Because the worst thing in the world for a person to feel, unless it's by God himself, is used. You don't care about me, you just care about using me to get some job done. And if we don't know each other and we don't take care of each other, then you start feeling like you just need somebody to serve, which means you need a job done, you really don't want to get involved with me, you just need the work covered. And so as a church, whether it's staff or whether it's small group leaders, whatever it is, you say, well, how can you take care of a big church? If you're doing your job as a pastor, you equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so you take care of people who take care of people who take care of people, and it moves out and everybody goes, wow, I feel so loved. I feel so taken care of. And that's how it's supposed to work. Go to Psalm 23. Some of you know this by heart. And oddly enough, in our world today, some people, if I say the 23rd Psalm, they do not have a clue what I'm even talking about, and might see some of it and recognize it, but do not assume that people know the scriptures anymore. They do not. Slow down. Don't make these assumptions. The 23rd Psalm is a Psalm of David, became King David, but before he was King David, he was the youngest kid in this house. He was a shepherd. He was brilliant. He was valiant, good-looking kid who got passed over when they were picking a king. When the prophet shows up to pick a king, and like, none of the brothers are it, you got anybody else? And when David shows up, he goes, there he is, right? He's the guy. Not afraid. And as a shepherd, he had a relationship with his sheep. And I'm sure we don't have a ton of shepherds in the room or beyond, because that's just not much of a thing anymore, at least unless you live in an agrarian situation. But real shepherds that have flocks of sheep that have to be moved and cared for, and if they fall over, you got to help them up. I mean, sheep are pretty stupid animals. I'm not making any inferences here. I'm just telling you about sheep. They are difficult animals. They can get bugs in their ears. They can just all kind of nightmares with sheep. Without a shepherd, they don't do well. And so David knew what it was to be a shepherd, to care for sheep, to lead sheep. Then he writes this, the Holy Spirit writes through him, and he says, in regard to his relationship with the Lord, he is a shepherd, but now he says, the Lord is my shepherd. And there are people that say, well, there's too many songs that are about me, 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 me. You can't get much more me, me, me personal than this. He didn't say here, the Lord is our shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. At some point, it has to get personal. You have to reach a point in your life where this is not just God caring about the whole world, everybody out there. You got to be able to climb in a closet somewhere, look in the mirror and say, no matter what happens in my life, I know that God cares about me personally. You say, but what about other people? You will never care about other people more than you care about yourself, and you will never care about yourself until you understand that God cares about you. Because if you're trying to care about other people and your battery is dead, you got no juice. You're trying to jump off somebody and help them when you're not feeling good about yourself. So this simple phrase here, the Lord is my shepherd, the stuff that's built into that statement alone is extraordinary, because David was a shepherd, and when he was able to say the Lord is my shepherd, then everything that went with David taking care of his sheep now is transferred onto God, saying in the same way that I know what it is to care for my sheep, I know he cares that way for me. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, what? I shall not want. So you say, well, if God cares so much about me, then why am I stuck here by myself? Why do I not have a job? Why can I not find food? Why does no one call me? Why am I laying here in a nursing home and my own kids, even if they could, wouldn't come to see me? And I will die here alone. You cannot put all of that off on a God who cares about you just because other people don't. You have to trust that he cares about you and he has not abandoned you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. And one of the reasons, unless you lose your ever-loving mind, that it is so important to store scriptures. You say, well, why would you need to memorize scripture? Why do I need, and the scriptures describe the scriptures as the only attack weapon you have. The word of God, the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, that is all you have to attack. So let me tell you what I don't even know about yet. There may come a day when you fight a battle by yourself, and you might be laying in the fetal position when you fight it. And all you will have is your walk with the Lord and the word of the Lord. And when the enemy comes and says you've been abandoned in the valley of the shadow of death, you'll be able to come back and say, that is not true. I'm just on my way in. I'm on my way through. He will not leave me here. Keep reading. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I will not want for anything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He's not taking me out on some dirt road somewhere. He finds me lush grass, and I lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, easier to drink from still waters than moving waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And look at this, not for my name's sake, not for my sake, for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why would you fear no evil? If you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, literally, why would you fear no evil? Look what he says. You, for you are with me. Now, this is Old Testament. in the New Testament, something amazing changes. God goes from just being with people and on people, the Spirit of God, to he literally says, I will make you the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to be in buildings on the planet anymore. You are my new building. And so as a Christian, literally, God himself somehow, and I'm saying this all out loud and I can read it to you, I do not comprehend this. Somehow the same God that made the entire universe, I stand here in this body, that same God has chosen, because I have trusted in him, and he chose me and called me to himself, and I responded, and he said, I'm not going to come live with you, I'm going to come live in you. And so somehow I have the God that created the universe living inside this body. What is possible then? Of whom will I be afraid? Who do you have that you can bring and confront me with? You say, well, I could bring big, bad people, guns, knives, whatever. Whatever you bring, they are not greater than the God that's in me. Greater is he who is in me than anything or anybody in the world. You say, but they can kill you. They can kill this house. They cannot kill me or my God. If you take me out, he takes me out to a place that he's prepared for me. So I can't lose. You say, well, why do you talk about things like that? Because you're going to get in a spot sooner or later where you better know these things, and whether you feel like God cares or anybody else cares or not, or even if you don't care anymore, you better have stuff that you can roll tape on and say, okay, what do I know to be true for a fact, whether I feel it or not? And that's where you roll scripture and what God has said from his word, and you know that to be true for yourself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. Rods and staves were used to protect from outside enemies, but also to move the sheep along, we'll just say. So there's great comfort in knowing that God will not only protect you from an enemy, but protect you from yourself by disciplining us. And we're not crazy about this all the time, but it's a good thing to have a God who cares enough to discipline and say, you're out of line, I'm gonna get your attention, we're not doing this anymore. You can still do it if you want to. It's the old thing Claude used to tell me, the old man that discipled me, he said, Richard, God will never make you do anything, he will just make you wish you had. So remember that. You can do whatever you wanna do, that's a fact. You just won't want to at some point, because the dial gets turned enough, you say, I'm out. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. And these things, I'm not gonna get into all this, don't have time to get into this, but a sheep with oil poured on them protected them from bugs and all kind of stuff. Just the imagery is amazing. My cup runs over. Does your cup run over? See, if all you got is my life sucks, nobody cares about me, God doesn't care about me, if you would stop for just a second, if you've got food to eat and clothes to wear and you have any health, you have any strength, and you know God cares about you, you need to start rolling those tapes and not the pity party. You need to get around people and say, dude, come on, let's go. You're gonna be okay. Don't be by yourself. And one of the nightmares of isolation is that people get alone, and what do wolves do with isolated sheep? They start yakking on them, chewing on them, biting on them, telling them a bunch of lies, and before you know it, you believe all that. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So what did he know? He's leading me somewhere. Look at this. The Lord's my shepherd, and he's leading me in these places. But what is following your life? Goodness and mercy are pulling up the rear. So maybe a simple question. All right? Now think about this. If you have a shepherd like the Lord who cares about you, and it's working with him and it's working with you, then everywhere I go, what do I leave in my wake? Goodness, mercy. So the lives that I impact, the people that I'm around, when I walk away, when I move on, they experience, it's like goodness just came into their life. Mercy just came into their life. Is that what is following us around all day long? It is impossible for a world not to know that at least we care if that is what's following us around every day of our lives. Because they will know if there's goodness dispensed by us, mercy dispensed by us, because we've experienced all that from God, and they're getting a taste of that, they'll go, wow, somebody does care. And then the last phrase, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And I can't get my head around it. I was talking to one of my girls about eternity the other day, and she finally said, Dad, I can't talk about this anymore. It's too much.
I get too anxious. It's just too much. You can't get your head around it. The great thing about heaven, before we get there, I can read you all the verses that we got in the scriptures in the book of Revelation and anywhere else that he's preparing a place for us. You have no idea. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. No one's even thought about it. The things that God has prepared for those who love him. And you say, well, you know, I'd rather be in hell with my friends, and I don't say this lightly. That will not be hard to pull off, because all you have to do when somebody tells you that God loves you, that Jesus died on the cross, is just say, who cares, dude? Who cares? And then you'll end up separated from him eternally. But I promise you this, and people give me a hard time about my tears, you will remember that a man somewhere in your lifetime wept over your soul and tried to explain in the words that he had that you don't want to miss heaven and you don't want to miss him here, because whatever you can come up with in this life, you will never come up with what he has for you. Nothing better than what he has for you. Even if it involves pain and suffering, you will never come up with anything that will bring more joy, more peace, more satisfaction, more love than what God has for you if you will give him your life, take his life. Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now those are basic things that he promised he'd provide, but isn't life even more than those things? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And I've asked this and read this before. The question is, are you more valuable than a bird? And if the answer is no, you're in trouble. How can God care more about a bird than he cares about you? The truth of the matter is, he does care more about you. It doesn't mean he doesn't care about birds. He cares about you. He sent his son to die on a cross, be buried, and raised from the dead to rescue and save you. He's going to feed the birds. He's trying to save you. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. All his clothes can outdo a flower of the field. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So you just, at some point you got to go, okay, God, you're going to take care of me. I'm going to take care of you. So what about the bends? What about the bends? Am I still going to get the bends? Why don't we start with food and clothing? And if I think somewhere down the road you could handle a bends, maybe. But if not, forget the bends. I'm not talking about the bends. I'm talking about a car. So last one, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5 starts out with some shepherd stuff again, addressed to elders. We've got four elders in this church, and they do a tremendous men, tremendous job. Verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, which just using the word shepherd means care for the people. And I get it, we may not be doing a great job, but I'm going to tell you straight up, and I try to say this all the time, I love you. You. Some of you out there watching, I don't even know you yet. I love you. So how do you love me? Because God came along and decided he loved me, and he didn't know me, he knew of me, but now I'm in a relationship with him. So I understand God loves me, I have love for him, now I have love for myself, now I've got love for you. That's just the way it works. Well, why would you care about what happens to me? Because he cared about what happened to me. And he sent me people who cared about me and helped me and walked with me and have gotten me to this point and are still around to help me hit the finish line. So elders, supposed to love people, take care of people. Then what happens? You go, wow, I feel cared for. Somebody does care. I'm going to take care of somebody else. And then all of a sudden you're part of a family where nobody gets left out. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Let me tell you something about this. I talked to all these people. Well, I don't need a church. You know, I like hopping around from churches. You got zero verses for hopping. You need to hop yourself right into a church somewhere and get under some authority, some supervision, where somebody knows who you are, can care about you, and say, dude, this is never going to work. You know why you like hopping around? You don't want anybody knowing what you're doing. And about the time they figure out you're full of it, oh, the Lord led me somewhere else. No, the wolf in sheep's clothing said, we got to get out of here, because they figured out you're full of it. You younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be in submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Why? For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, verse 6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Stop taking your life to everyone but the one who cares and who gave his life for you. You say, well, I'm going to take it to Jesus, and he's gonna tell me no, and I don't want to know, so I'm going to go do what I want to do. And you're going to burn up a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years, chasing your own silly idea, and then you're going to end up right back where you should have been in the first place, going, I screwed up. I get it. You're back. Let's pick up where we left off. Except that you burned 40 years. Who's got 40 years to burn? Just chasing stuff that evaporates.
I kind of wish I had somebody to get up here and sing this right now. And I may or may not be able to read this, but oddly enough, Dolly Parton and Zach Williams have a song, and I'm going to read it to you. Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even where I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus. For this man who needs amazing kind of grace, for forgiveness and a price I couldn't pay, I'm not perfect, so I thank you, God, every day. There was Jesus. There was Jesus. On the mountains, in the valleys, there was Jesus. In the shadows or the alleys, there was Jesus. In the fire, in the flood, there was Jesus. Always is and always was. No, I never walk alone. Never walk alone. You're always there. In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting. Like a blessing buried in the broken pieces, every minute, every moment, where I've been, where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
You say, who cares? I'll tell you who cares. Jesus cares. You got to give him a chance to care. Let him care. And that's a simple thing. So if somebody in this room or beyond would say, okay, I've sensed that he's been around me my whole life, and I've stiff-armed him and locked him out and acted like I didn't need him. I'm tired. I'm weak. I'm worn. I can't say no anymore. So pray this simple prayer. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died on the cross, was buried and raised from the dead. He shed his blood for me to pay for my sin, and was buried, raised from the dead, and he's offered me eternal life as a free gift, abundant life, a free gift, the forgiveness of my sins, a free gift, like starting all over again, like being born a second time. I ask you to come live in me, through me, change me. Show me how you want me to live. An answer for my eternity, an answer between here and there. Thank you for loving me, for caring about me personally, and that now you're not just around me, you're in me. You're not just with me. I'm yours and you're mine. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
This has been Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. There's only one reason we do this program: to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And you have a vital part of doing that along with us. If you've been encouraged by these talks with Richard, be sure to share with someone about the change they've made in your life. And we'd love to hear your story as to how the talks have made a difference to you. Give us a call. We'd love to talk with you. 855-6-RICHARD. You can also reach us through our website, richardellistalks.com. And while you're there, check out all the fun and informative pages we put together for you, richardellistalks.com. While you're there, be sure to click on the Contribute tab at the top to send your generous gift. If the program is making a difference to you, your gift will make a big difference to us. Until next time, thanks so much for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.